Welcome to Arin Podcast Luxembourg, our podcast channel that explores the latest legal and regulatory updates in Luxembourg by weighing in on our experts' profound experience. We are introducing our new podcast series, All About Private Debt. Our experts from different practice areas come together with guest speakers to debate hot topics in the private debt market.
Hi, welcome to you all. Here to speak about this matter of private debt. We are with Ludovic and Alexandre and myself. I am Ramon Hoyos. I'm a lead advisor at Arin Regulatory Consulting. We're specialized in valuation matters. And with us today is Alexandre Brajou. Alexandre is manager at Arin Regulatory Consulting and manages the risk team, providing advisory and other services with respect to a broad range of related risk assets. Ludovic is also with us. Ludovic Fichet is a conducting officer and portfolio manager at Amanco, where he spearheads initiatives to ensure full compliance with the regulatory requirements for portfolio management activities. So, Ludovic, can you give us a little bit more of an overall context of the private debt landscape?
Thanks, Ramon. Indeed, private debt for us is an extremely large investment universe. At Amanco, we have received a lot of requests this year from clients. And there is just one trend that come out of those requests this year, is that there are probably as many private debt strategy as there are funds. We haven't had single request for services that looked like another. And this is obviously a challenge when it comes to addressing client needs. Direct lending, mezzanine, distressed debt, that all type of up-and-coming strategy that we are attracting investors today. But as a service provider, we still have a long journey ahead before we have a full picture. The underlying of the debt product, as well as the vehicle structure, fund of fund, direct investment, all that can have an effect of increasing product complexity. The diversity of debt product is a key factor in the development of the asset class, enabling it to meet many of the different requirements investors have for add-ons into the asset allocation, access to specific asset class, like infrastructure debt, regulatory treatment of the product, solvency to treatment for insurance company, performance, diversification, etc., etc. This is most certainly the reason why private debt is one of the most active asset class within the alternative investment universe. But what is your view on that, Alex?
Thank you, Ludovic. Yeah, indeed, private debt market is a market which is currently booming. It's one of the asset classes in the Luxembourg alternative investment world with the strongest growth, with AUM up an average of 36% compared to last year, reaching more today than €100 billion. With investment funds predominantly structured as unregulated vehicles, taking advantage of the fundraising opportunities offered by IFMD, the market has seen a growing demand for investing in this asset class, mainly from institutional investors, in particular insurance companies and pension funds, but also to a certain extent from semi-professional investors on HNWI private distribution channel. But Ludovic, what makes this strategy different from other alternative asset classes?
Thanks for the question, Alex. From an asset perspective, investing into private debt product requires multiple competencies. The debt aspect of the product is only one of the aspects. The underlying should also carefully be analyzed. For example, direct investment in a real estate development project will be different than a mezzanine loan granted for the same type of investment. And it will require the AFM to understand and manage both the debt and the real estate aspect. Private debt products have required Amanco to review its business model and existing competencies to cope with this need. And it's like a banking-like environment. And since Amanco has launched several debt products this year, we have implemented significant upgrades to our portfolio and risk management processes. Looking at those processes, we think that they are closer to the life cycle of the debt instrument. And we include the analysis of the end business, the financial and credit analysis of the borrower, a review of the loan term, the covenant, exactly what a bank would do, in fact. Nevertheless, the ongoing monitoring of loan and the oversight of credit event requires a thorough appraisal to capture the risk of each position. But I suppose that it's also something different from you from a risk perspective, Alex.
Yes, exactly, Ludovic. As mentioned before, the private debt market is becoming more and more attractive within the fund industry. This success can also be explained from a risk perspective, where we see investors seeking higher returns in comparison to classic fixed income strategy, especially in a low interest rate environment. Private debt strategies are perfectly designed for this. Indeed, due to the large range of debt investment types, investors can choose the ones that clearly correspond to their risk appetite and expected returns. You can invest in senior secured debt, but you can also invest in distressed loan funds. The wide strategy will expose the investor to an acceptable level of risk for them in terms of potential losses they are ready to accept. Finally, for investors who are already exposed to fixed income strategy, private debt ones are also a way for them to diversify their portfolio, as private debt markets are generally less correlated to public debt markets. In that sense, private debt strategy represent an excellent opportunity for fixed income-oriented investors to diversify their investment with a risk-adjusted return. However, despite their risk specificity, private debt investment also include usual risk directly related to the nature of the underlying funding entity, which can be private equity, real estate, or infrastructure project. And Warman, what about the valuation of private debt instrument?
In terms of valuation, like as Ludovic and you mentioned before, basically the specificity of private debt instruments and especially direct debt is that you have to understand the underlying asset of the debt as well as the structure. And so that adds layers of complexity sometimes. But to simplify the matters in terms of debt, I would say that if we start from the IFRS 13 valuation, which states that a fair value is the price that would be received to sell an asset or paid to transfer a liability in an orderly transaction between market participants at the measurement date, we can say a couple of things. We can say that the first, that overall and globally, DCF valuation is usually done to value debt, since debt gives a good view of the future cash flows of the instrument. Sometimes you can find comparables, but it's not always easy to find the right comparables. But the valuer should also take into perspective the changes that could affect the changes in the market that could affect the value of the debt. Some of them is exactly what Ludovic was saying, monitoring changes in credit spread, the loans, events that could affect the value of the loans at some point. Then I would say also that in some cases, in some simple cases, you could use the nominal value of the loan as a proxy for fair market value. Is not always, I would say, unfortunately, for the sake of simplicity, is not always the case. But for example, when the debtor is distressed, you cannot use the nominal value as a proxy for fair market value. But when the debtor is distressed, it's important to assess the capacity of the debtor to repay his debt. For example, building a realization rate, which is in simpler term, probability of repayment of the debt, and the timeline. So we also like to have a scenario-based approach and backtesting when possible in this case. It's not always easy, but we try to do backtesting. Also, last but not least, when there is an indirect ownership of equity, for example, via warrant instruments, the warrants should be valued separately using most of the time a mathematical model, such as Black-Scholes. And Ludovic, what do you have to say? What would be the important things to note or risk to take into account while talking about private debt?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ramon. When it comes to risk of debt strategy, definitely loan origination is a key focus area for different team at Amanco, and that in order to define the appropriate level of monitoring. It requires us a deep understanding of the end business funding by the law granted by the fund we have under management. And in that matter, Amanco has identified two areas of concern when we launch this kind of strategy. First, who is checking what? Is it Amanco checking, risk management or portfolio management department, or are those checks made by the funded company? The other aspect is definitely the data aspect. What is the level of data we need? How can we access those data, and in what form? We can get raw data, we can get aggregated data, and it really depends to what extent you would like to do the monitoring of this strategy. But obviously, the filter of Almanco will always be to meet the regulatory requirement arising from the ESMA opinion, the FAQ of the CSSF, and also the recent proposition of the Commission regarding the review of the AFM directive. However, our funded company, the one we are funding, they might have a low or even no awareness related to such regulatory requirement. And we spend quite a lot of time discussing the education about this requirement. And that in order to mobilize package, analyze data that ensure the right portfolio monitoring, risk management, evaluation aspect, and all those aspects remain under control. What I can say from our recent experiences is that those phases can turn into real lengthy project of both sides, so for us, but also for the funding company. And for you, Alex, what would be, from a risk perspective, the key element to take into account?
Thank you, Ludovic. In fact, from risk perspective, in addition to the monitoring of traditional risk associated to underlying borrowing entities and the simple assessment of their credit worthiness, private debt investment required to monitor specific ones. By example, it's important to pay close attention to the contractual covenant in order to be sure that there are proper limitations on the borrower. As far as possible, it must be prevented from taking action that increase the risk for the lender in fine. Moreover, you need a clear understanding of the borrower's debt structure and the proper assessment of the value and eligibility of collateral in order to adequately capture the credit risk associated to loan transactions. Those aspects are particularly important to take into consideration when an alternative investment fund is originating itself loans, and it must be fully integrated in the risk management framework and processes of the AIFM. Indeed, as part of the structuration of the loan, an AIFM originating loan is directly involved in the covenant definitions, the collateral selection, and the determination of the related financing cost. In case an alternative investment fund is taking part in a syndicated transaction, especially when not being the lead originator, those points must be properly monitored during the structuration process as part of the oversight duties of the AIFM, and a particular attention must be paid to the retention of a material economic interest by the lead originator. On top of that, another factor to take into account when measuring the risk of a portfolio of private debt is clearly the diversification risk. In properly assessing the overall credit risk of the portfolio, diversification is a key point that will determine the credit correlation between the different lines of the portfolio. Unlike for any other investment, from a risk perspective, it is better to target a lower correlation between debt investments so that impairment or losses do not negatively affect the portfolio value all at once if there is an economic shock, for example, in a specific sector or country. As you have understood, credit risk is a key risk driver for private debt investment, which can combine various aspects, and it must be quantified during valuation as well, and maybe Ramon can say a few words on it.
Exactly. I think this is a very important term, credit risk and risk in general. And for valuation, I would say we use the risk is captured in the discount rate, and that is one of the most challenging parts to estimate when valuing private debt instruments. The risk estimation should not just consider the characteristics of the debt itself, such as you mentioned, covenants attached to the contract, but also the investor approach and also the timeline that could affect the value of the loan And some events you cannot really foresee, for example, prepayments before term or court-ordered liquidation procedures. So this type of things should be analyzed by the valuer. Of course, we cannot see in the future. So we can. There is some moments where we'll have a scenario-based approach. And as well, I will finish saying by that comparables are often very challenging to find. So I would, as I said before, I would not recommend using comparables in most of the cases. And also with the increase in capital and increasing private debt funds in general, I think we will see more and more complex kind of private debt instruments. And so valuers will be to be more technical and more skilled. The skill of required for valuation will become larger.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point to conclude, Ramon. Thanks a lot. We have seen that private debt market is a growing segment in the alternative investment world with some very special characteristic, and that can only be properly handled with specific expertise. So I think this is meeting your point. But in addition, we've seen that the recent proposition of the Commission regarding the review of the AFM directive also reminded us that going forward, regulation might impose further requirement on private debt funds in terms notably of liquidity risk management, special framework organization for alternative investment fund practicing this kind of loan origination strategy. But I think that is a topic for another podcast. And now I would like to thank Ramon and Alex for participating.
Thank you, Ludovic. Thank you, Ramon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this private debt podcast. We hope you found it interesting. If you would like more information about our private debt expertise, we invite you to visit our website, www.achent.com. If you don't want to miss our latest episode, please feel free to subscribe to our podcasts, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.